attention to the book of Daniel. And out of the third chapter, I'm going to read verses 14 through 18 for your consideration. And our supporting scripture this morning will come from a very familiar passage, Ephesians 6 and 11. Daniel, the third chapter, beginning at verse 14, the Bible reads, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Supporting scripture, Ephesians 6 and 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And on those verses, we'd like to use a thought of subject this morning in the form of a question. Do you love God enough to stand? Do you love God enough to stand? You cannot answer that for your neighbor. You can't answer it for your children, your husband, or your wife. You got to answer that for yourself. What kind of love do you have for God? How committed are you to God? How much do you know that not only does he love you and he desires things of you, but do you really love God enough to stand? We are thankful this morning that God has blessed us, and as he blesses us, I know that it's only by his grace and mercy that we are here once again assembled in this great sanctuary to worship God and to offer praises unto his holy name. He has blessed us to see another day's journey. And as we continue in our press this morning, let us be thankful and mindful of the fact that he is present here with us. Even after the benediction, as we go in our separate ways, God will be with us wherever we go and wherever we might be. And so I'm so glad that there is no God like our God. I'm always reminded of that song that comes on the camp meeting. They love to sing, there's no God like Jehovah. Truly, there is no God like Jehovah. And that God that I'm talking about, he has done some great things for us. Even those that acknowledge it and those that don't, God still blesses us anyway. We have a lot of folk that don't want to give God praise. And you don't have to praise him like anybody else, because we can't sit back and judge one another because you don't do it like I do it. You got to understand that God gave you your own mind. God gave you two hands. God gave you a mouth that you can open up in. If God has blessed you in any way, you ought not mind giving God your praise. I'm so glad that he's a God that sits high and looks down low. He's a God that has all power in his hand, and there is nothing that this God cannot do. Whether it's a good day or a bad day, remember that the Bible declares that God is always there. He's a present help in the time of trouble. And wherever the Lord is, the Bible declares there is liberty. We are free to go and to let God have his way. We as a people have so much to be thankful for. He has brought us all a mighty long way. We enjoy so many opportunities and freedoms that our ancestors did not have. So many men and women have suffered and died, and we could look upon them and know that they didn't feel or didn't know that they were equal because they wasn't treated as equals. And we got to go and realize that God is able. He is able to bless us. He is able to keep us. And as we live in any community, we ought to thank God that God has blessed us to a point now to where we can live wherever we choose to live. We can be educated. We can have professional white-collar jobs now. We can hold our heads up high and know that we are somebody. We are people full of integrity and potential to succeed in a world such as we live in today. And even though God has brought us a mighty long way, we still understand as a people, we still got a ways to go. Because there's still some bigots out there. There's still some racists out there. There's still some folk that think that they are better than you. There are folk that think that they are superior to you. And there are those that would discredit you just because of the color of your skin. And we sit back and we talk about the old days and how we had to live in a way where we were faced with rejection and double standards. But we got to know that we serve a God that is able to take care of us despite our trials and the obstacles that might get in our way. We got to understand who God really is. I'm glad to have been a part of the MLK banquet last night, for Dr. Howell did a magnificent job in delivering that word on last night. He spoke from the message, The Other Side of the Path, which brought back home to those of us that are old enough to know what it was like when we had to go in the back doors and when we had to sit in certain places and sit at the back of the bus and the danger of having bodily harm even to be able to walk up and down Main Street. So it was a reminder to some of us, and it should have reminded us just how good God is and how far the Lord has brought us. He even expressed how there was a time when our mothers and our grandmothers were to help and not only raise us, but they raised little white children and they raised them with love. If you don't understand, if you don't know, if you ever sit down with some of our elders that was in the house taking care of those little white kids, those white kids loved them just as much as you did. And one thing about it, most of those that were in those situations, now, those white people would do anything for that individual. You know, they maybe have realized that when I get out of here and I go home, I got to go through some struggles. But Mr. Bob would take care of me if I got sense enough and I'm not ashamed to ask. Mr. Bob would let me know that everything going to work out somehow or some way. And if you need anything, I'll help you along the way. Our people have struggled and went through a whole lot of things. And so we got to understand that we ought to be thankful to God that we don't have to still go through as many struggles and injustices as they had to endure when they got home. But it's still not easy. It's still some doors that are going to be closed in our face. And as we celebrate and we remember one of the greatest men of the 20th century that loved God and loved the people of God and stood against racism and bigotry and injustice without resulting to violence and hatred. So we remember Dr. Martin Luther King. We should know that he was more than just an activist for freedom and human rights, but he was a man of God and believed and trust in the power of God. He was one that thought in his mind, and he might have not got an opportunity to live to see it, but his message and his vision was that this world is going to change for the better. And I believe that he was one that we can all agree that he loved God enough to stand. You got to be able to stand. You got to be able to know that if you want anything to happen, if you want any changes to come about, you got to stand up for what you believe in. You can't sit down when it comes time to go into the polls and voting. You can't sit down and continue to say they're going to do what they want to do. When you do that, you discredit all of those that have bled and died and suffered so that we would even have the right to vote. Don't you know if some of us had have gone through what our ancestors had gone through, we'd be dead and gone if we had the attitude or the mindset that we have now. We read it in the history book. We look at those pictures on the television, and we are so quick to say, oh, no, Master wouldn't have treated me like that. You a lie. You did what the master said. You going to get beat or you going to get killed, one or the other. You might have had a whole lot of mouth, but you'd have learned how to keep your opinion to yourself. There's some folk, even now, you can't tell everybody what you think. Don't you know that there were some snitches among the slaves? Some of them suck up to the master, and you couldn't tell them what your plan might be. We got some snitches around here this morning. They say that they love God. They say that they're on your side, but you better watch them. They look at you and realize that you got a good position. They'll find some kind of way to make you lose your job. You get elevated to a higher position, and somebody of your own color is the main one, like a crab, pulling you right back down. It's amazing how we don't want to take any orders from our own folk. But we got some folk that got an education. We got some folk that have labored and put some things in and the time in and went through the process of time that they got that position. So how come you can't respect that position? Now, I know that there's some of us you can't give no authority, no power. Oh, Jesus knows. You just got a little bit of authority. You act like you the real boss. You just a little team leader. Yeah, got you watching over a few folk. Try to make them feel like I'll fire you if you don't act right. So we got to be careful how we handle authority. We got to understand that when we celebrate and when we think about the steps of this great man, and when we think about, you know, we love to talk about that great speech, I have a dream, but it was more than just a dream. It was actually a prophecy. It was something that God had put within this man as he declared and he began to express himself in the words he so eloquently used. Those things have come to pass. So you got to know that there's some things that you might want to happen that even if it don't happen in your lifetime, all you need to know is God is going to make a way out of no way. I was looking and I saw one of his famous quotes, which tells us you are not only responsible for what you can no longer be silent. You got to be able to say what God has on your mind. You got to speak up and you got to stand for what's right. Because you're going to be responsible not only for what you say, but what you don't say. She said there's a whole lot of us, we just passes. We go along with the program. But there are times when you got to speak up your mind. There are times when you see that there's an injustice that you ought to be able to say, no, I don't agree with that. Whether your message get across or not, as long as you do what is in your heart and in your mind to do, then you ought to be able to go home and have peace in your mind. Don't do no good after you get home to call somebody and tell them they didn't do that right. If you were there in the midst of it while it was going on, raise your hand or whatever you need to do, but you open up your mouth and you speak for what's right. We can no longer be silent. We got to speak up and we got to stand for what is right. May not be easy. You might have to suffer some consequences. But if you look to the hills, if you have faith in the power of a loving God, then God will make everything all right. On this cold Sunday morning, I'm not going to hold you all day. We got a whole lot we got to do, or some of us are going to do throughout this weekend. But as we look at this book of Daniel, and last week we talked about the faith and the blessings of Daniel himself. We talked from the thought, if you really love God, then you got to keep the faith. But today, as we piggyback on that, it means in the reality, if we love God and we have genuine faith in his power and his ability to deliver, we can ask you the question this morning, do you love God enough to stand? There are a whole lot of us, we got a whole lot of mouth, but all we got is lip service. When it comes time to standing up and when it comes time to backing somebody up, we back up and go and turn and go the other way. But if you say we're going to stand in this thing together, if we're going to say that we got to work together, then together means it encompasses all of us, not just a faithful few. When you think about this question this morning, before you give your answer, let me remind you of two important texts that I shared with you on last week. One of them being Exodus 34 and 14, where the Bible declares, "For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God." And then the first two commandments that he gave to Moses on Mount Sinai, he said, "Thou shalt have no other God before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. So when we look at this text this morning in the book of Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar had already messed up in the first place. He made a golden image and he requested the people to bow down at the sound of the music, and that went against the word and the will of God. For the Bible teaches us this morning, it is better to obey God rather than man. I don't care if you're a king. I don't care if you're a president. I don't care if you're the group leader. If you're going to lead somebody astray or lead them into damnation, you better have your own mind and you better know how to use the right to make the right choice. Just because somebody else going to jump off the cliff, you're going to jump off the cliff because he said jump off the cliff. Lay down there with your broken up bones. We walked through this text this morning. Very familiar, but I come to remind some that may not have thought about it in this manner. What it means to take a stand for God. Despite what man say, obey God. Despite what man might be able to do unto you, still stand for God. Knowing that our God is able to take care of us. Our God is there when we need him the most. Now, we see this king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar that he has set up this golden image. And this golden image that he set up is not all pure gold. It's just an image, and he covered it with gold so it could shine, so he could put it up. And the Bible declared that he said that at the sound of the music, but what he wanted to do is make sure that all the important folk be there. You know how it is when you want to act like or you want to make everybody think you all of that? Know how it is when you feel like I can do anything that I want to do. That this is the mindset I'm looking at King Nebuchadnezzar. He got that mindset, I can do what I want to do. And because I'm king, you're supposed to do what I tell you to do. But I come to tell somebody, you better listen to King Jesus. Oh, Lord. I almost said that fool in the White House. Listen to him if you want to. You better let it in and let it out. Because I got a God that can take care of him. I got a God that let me know that you can say what you want to say, you can do what you want to do, but you can't send me nowhere. You didn't make me from the dust of the ground. Never seen such ignorance in the White House. Got to worry about y'all telling him because can't none of y'all get close enough to tell Trump what I said. He's one of those that you got to test your faith. The Bible say love your enemy. It's hard to love that one. That's why men ought to always pray. We got to pray for those that we don't like. I don't even like King Nebuchadnezzar right now. Bible declares he sent for the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to this great dedication of the image which he had set up. And then when he got there, he began to let them know, and he told the herald, you get out there and you blow the horn and you cry aloud and you say to you, it is commanded, O people, every nation and of every language, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, fall down and worship the golden image that I, the king, have set up. And if you don't fall down, I got news for you. But what's going to happen if you don't fall down, I'm going to have you cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. The Bible declared, therefore, at the time when all the people heard the sound of the music, everybody fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. But wherefore, at that time, there were certain Chaldeans that came near. Now, you always got some snitches in the bunch. You always got somebody watching you and see what you're going to do. Always got somebody to see how you gonna vote when it all comes out, how they wanna look. You see, that's why sometimes you gotta have a secret ballot. Because if you have everybody to raise their hand, I'm gonna get you if you raise your hand for the wrong thing. Look at these men. Bible said that they came and they watched and they accused the Jews. They knew that the king had found favor in these Jews. They spake and said unto the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, the old king live forever. You know how it is, we got some folk that'll suck up to somebody. You better watch that one that stay right up under the boss man. You better watch him. I don't care what color they are. I was in the workforce. I knew a lady, she'd write down notes. What time you go to break? What time you came back? And she's doing the same job I'm doing. I had to go to the office with that one. Hate me cause the boss man like me. Anyway. This king. So now, if they began to suck up to him, told him that now, king, I know you made a decree. And you said out of your mouth that every man that hear the sound of the music, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And you also said that whosoever falleth not down and worship, he should be cast into the midst of a fiery furnace. But then it gets deep. He said, now that there are certain Jews, the same one that you put over the affairs of the providence of Babylon. Oh, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now I looked at them, and when the music began to play, they kept on standing. You know how it is, always somebody that got a tail on somebody else. Oh, king, they have not regarded thee. They do not serve thy God, nor do they worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Bible declared then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and in his fury commanded them, you bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to me. Know how it is sometimes when you're in authority, you get a little sidebar that somebody been talking about you and you say, bring them here. I bet they won't say that in my face. So here we have the king that brought Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego right in his presence. He said, now the Bible declares, and it's right here in the Bible. It said, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true? O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my God? Do not ye worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, I'm going to give you another chance. If you be ready, I'm going to have them to play that music again. And this time when they play the music, if you don't bow down, I'm going to have you put into the fiery furnace. Then I want to know something. If you don't bow down, who is this God that's going to be able to deliver you out of my hands? Because I'm the king. I'll throw you in the dungeon. I'll throw you in the fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego looked at him. They answered him, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, you don't even have to ask us that question. Don't make me no different what you say you're going to do. Do what you got to do, because if it be so, the God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But just in case he don't do it, he will not, we will not serve your God. We will not worship your golden image. We realize that you set it up, but you are just a man. And I believe that my God said that I should have no other God before me. See, I remember what the Lord God told me. I remember that I'm a child of the mighty King. So you do what you got to do, and I'm going to do what I got to do. Am I talking to anybody in here that realizes no matter what nobody say, You got your mind made up that I'm going to serve the Lord until I die. I don't care how many obstacles get in the way. I don't care how many times you threaten me and say you're going to persecute me. I'm going to hold up the bloodstained banner. I realize that I look here in the word of God. You know, when you stand up against one with all type of authority, he got mad down on the inside. The Bible says his whole face and condition began to change. You know how it is when you do a little something in the church house and you know me well enough to know I don't like it. And you look at that facial expression that I got. Somebody began to say, Reb didn't like that. But I come to let you know that there's some thing that Nebuchadnezzar didn't like. He didn't like these men that he had put into some authority, standing up against him and not bowing down to his image. He got nasty looking in the face. He got mad and began to grit his teeth. He began to look at him with some funny eyes and began to let him know, I'm going to put a notion on you. I'm going to have them to fire up the furnace 7 times harder than it ought to be burning right now. I'm going to make an example out of you. Go get me the mightiest men that I got. Bound up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We're going to throw them down in the burning fiery furnace. But look at the power of God. See, I wanted to say that this is another but God situation. Because man had one thing in mind, but God had another thing already in store. They began to take them down to the burning furnace. And as they got to the burning furnace and they began to throw the men in, the Bible declared that the flames slew those mighty men. Don't you know God is a protector, and God will protect you in any situation? Anybody know what I'm talking about? That even when the devil try you, God is still right there by your side. No weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper, because I serve a mighty God this morning. And the Bible declared that they bound these men. They threw them down in the burning fiery furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar came and looked down in the furnace. He thought they ought to be screaming out of pain right now. But when the Lord is on your side, you don't have to worry about nobody. God is able this morning to keep you in King perfect care. God will pick you up when you need to be picked up. God had a wall of protection all around them. No form came to their body. For the king looked inside the furnace. He said, oh men, did not we put 3 men bound and threw them down in the cast of the furnace? But now I see 4 men. They're loose and they're walking around upright. And I don't see no hair scent. I don't see nothing on their clothes. He said, oh Meshach, oh Shadrach, oh Abednego, come forth up out of the furnace. And this time they listened to the king. They came on the outside. They began to let him know that everything is all right. Our hair is not cinched. Smell my clothes. Don't even smell no smoke on them. Everything is all right. He said the 4th would look like a divine being. Must be an angel. I got an angel. You got an angel watching over you this morning. So I'm so glad that they love God enough. They love God enough to stand. But I wonder, is there anybody in the house? Anybody want to answer the question? Do you love God enough to stand? The Bible declares, when good doing the good, the service of the Lord, knowing that whatsoever good thing that man might do, there might be somebody to try to discredit you. But Paul said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The devil got some crafty tricks, but I got my mind made up. I'm going to run on. I'm going to run on and see what the end is going to be. I love God enough. I love my God enough that I'm going to stand. Can you answer the question this morning? Do you love God enough to stand in the midst of your tribulation? No matter what your fire might be, it might be heartache, it might be sickness, it might be death of a family member, but you gotta stand no matter what you do. Do all you can do, but stand. trust God, love God, know that everything is going to be all right. Don't let man tell you what you got to do. When God says that he'll be with you. And you know what I love about these three men? They realize that one thing, God can deliver and God is able. But because he is God, he can do what he wants to do. So just in case it is his desire that he don't deliver me, I'm still not going to serve your God. Because there ain't no God like Jehovah. There's no God like our God. And then if you read on down to that 28th verse, oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, when they came out on the outside, he began to say, you know what? I'm going to make another decree now. Don't talk about, don't go against the God of these men. Because there's no God like their God. Because a God that can deliver in the midst of a fire, he can do anything. All you got to do is trust him. Do you love God enough to stand?